You turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Glad you're here. We have a lot that's out. Gene mentioned it. I saw I got close enough to get to see his list. He had 4 or 5 pages of those that were out. And I'm guessing there are some who have not gotten word to us. There's about 30 people that would generally be here who are not. So let's remember them in our prayers. But there are also some who were not here this past Sunday and this past Wednesday, and you are back. And we're glad you're better, glad you're back with us. And mindful of those that are visiting with us, some visiting from outside of town, visiting with families. We're glad you're here. Thank you for thinking of us. And if you find yourself in Coleman again, hope you'll come back and worship with us the next time you might have opportunity to do that. We're starting 1 Peter chapter 2. If we are familiar with the word offensive, something is offensive to someone. Definition, the idea to annoy or to cause some resentment. And we can put that on almost any type noun. An offensive language, an offensive smell, an offensive person. There are a lot of things that can become offensive to people. Could you imagine being offended at our Lord? We're in 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to remind you of his character. Look at verse 21. Let's start there. For this is what you were called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. Now let's think about what that example was. He left an example, you follow me, is what Peter is saying. Now what was the example? Verse 22. He did no sin. There was no deceit, no guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he reviled not. When he suffered, he threatened not. He committed himself to him that judges righteously. What a character. That's who he was. That's what he did. That's the example that he set. How could anyone be offended by this type of character traits? And as crazy as that might sound to us at first reading, who could be offended by this? Millions upon millions, both then and now. And so we need to look at some ways how that could be possible. How could someone with this type of character ever offend anyone? Well, there's some answers to that. Some Bible-given answers to that. And the deeper we go, the more applications we can make. So let's do that. How was it that some were offended by our Lord? Some were offended by his lot in life. Turn to Mark chapter 6. There are other verses you can see on the overhead, but we're just going to look at Mark 6. Some were offended at his lot in life. Does this sound familiar to you? What good thing could come out of Nazareth? There were people that were offended at Jesus just when they found out where he was from. What good thing could come out of there? They're offended by that. Offended by where he was raised. John chapter 7 talks about those that were kind of amazed about the fact that he had never learned letters. Here he is setting himself up as a rabbi, setting himself up as a teacher when they knew good and well he had not been to any formal schooling. Some would have turned him off just because of his background. Probably the clearest example of that is in Mark chapter 6. Jesus is in the early stages of his public work. Look in verse 1. Mark chapter 6. He went out of there and he came to his own country. His disciples were following him. When the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man learn these things? Again, remember, he didn't know any letters. How does he know these things? From where has this man learned them? What wisdom is this that has been given unto him, that with mighty works that have been wrought with his hands? Are you with me? Verse 3. Is that not the carpenter's son? Is that not the son of Mary, the brother of Joseph, the brother of James, the brother of Judas, the brother of Simon? Aren't that his sisters still here with us? And they were offended at him. Verse 2, with their own mouth. He's teaching a lot of wisdom. Verse 2, with their own mouth, he is working some incredible signs. Verse 3, he makes me sick. Smart aleck. Show off, know it all. Who does he think he is? We know where he was raised. We know where he grew up. We know what side of the tracks he came from. They were offended by him. You put all this together. You've got, he's from Nazareth. He hasn't been schooled properly. He's Joseph's son. He's raised a carpenter. He grew up right there. With all of it leading to the conclusion of, what qualifies you to be the Messiah? Who do you think you are? They were offended by the lot of his life. They saw the boy who grew up in front of them, right there in their hometown, instead of the man standing before them, working signs and teaching wisdom. And they can't get over that. They're offended by where he came from. Now, application-wise, when's the last time you met anyone who rejected the Bible, who rejected Holy Scripture because Jesus came out of Nazareth? When's the last time you met anyone who said, you know, I don't think I believe any of this because he never went to school? In the first century, people were offended by his lot in life. But that's really not an issue today. That's just not something that today is a big deal. So let's go on. Let's go deeper. Some were offended at what he did. Not where he came from, but what he did. Look in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, just a few pages over. I'm sorry, excuse me, I've got that wrong. Matthew chapter 9, all of these in Matthew. PowerPoint's wrong, I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 9, let's just hurriedly, and there's an innumerable number of times they were offended by what he did. We're studying that, by the way, on our Wednesday night studies. All the conflicts he has had with the Jews, much of that because of what he did. He or his disciples. Let's look at a couple of those to remind ourselves. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. He entered into a ship, and he passed over. He came to his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of palsy, lying on a bed. Jesus, seeing their faith, they said to the sick with palsy, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." Behold, certain of the scribes within them said, "That man blasphemes." They are offended, not because he's from Nazareth. They are offended, not because of being a carpenter's son. They are offended by what he has just done, by the statement and the claim that he just made. Turn over to Matthew chapter 12. We studied this one not too long ago on our Wednesday nights. And we'll look at some other things in that chapter that we didn't mention. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 1 and 2 is when they bring the disciples to him. They bring the fault. Your disciples are plucking grain. They're violating the tradition. They're violating the law. And Jesus had to deal with that. Look in verse 10. There was a man who had his hand withered. And they asked him, said, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days?" That they might accuse him. They don't care about that man. They don't care about his hand. They don't care about their brother. They're looking for an accusation. Look in verse 14. The Pharisees went out and took counsel against him that they might destroy him. Would you say they're offended? They are beyond offended. They are offended to the point of, how can we kill him without losing our standing in society? They're trying to get a plan. How can we kill him without his followers revolting against us? They don't like what he's doing, because what he's doing is he is rocking their world. He is rocking their boat. He's not following along with the crowd. He's not bowing down to the Pharisees and their traditions. He calls them on their hypocrisy, and they are offended to the point of, how do we take him out? They are different. He's doing different than what they traditionally expected the coming Messiah to be. When's the last time you know someone who rejected the gospel because Jesus healed a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath day? When's the last time someone rejected the gospel and their reason was the disciples' children as they were walking? This is not an issue today. Very few people that will we ever meet who will be offended because of the signs and wonders that Jesus did. In the first century, they were offended by where he came from. Not us. Not people we know. First century, they were offended by how counter he was to the traditions of the days. Not people me and you know. So let's go deeper. Many were offended by what he taught. And we just broke new ground, didn't we? This changes everything. Turn to John chapter 6. Let's first of all, let's not just make the statement about it. Let's show that Jesus' teaching led to a lot of offense. John chapter 6. When you think of John 6, probably what comes to mind is the feeding the multitudes. This is when the little boy's lunch fed multiple and multiple of thousands. But after that, the following day, the narrative continues on. They came back and Jesus began to teach. You didn't come because you saw the miracles. You came because you want more food. And so Jesus begins to teach bread of life. This is when the bread of life sermon was taught. And he goes on and he goes on. If you've got one of those red letter Bibles, there's a bunch of red letters staring you in the face. Jesus teaches and he teaches and he teaches. And in verse 60, John chapter 6, verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, when he got through with bread of life and what that meant and how it was supposed to change those who ingested it. Many therefore his disciples, when they heard this, they said, that's a hard saying. Who can listen to it? Who can handle it? Who can hear it? This is too harsh, what he's saying. Drop down to verse 66. From that time on, from that sermon on, many of his disciples went back and they walked no more with him. Verse 60, they are his disciples, it calls them. These are not people who were just now getting introduced to him. These were people that had already decided, I'm going to be a follower, until he got through teaching. And what we find out in verse 66 is, they do not consider themselves a disciple anymore. They are not going to follow anymore. The teaching, verse 60, was too harsh. And they made a decision to hit the road. These people in John 6 didn't walk away because of Nazareth. These people in John 6 didn't walk away because of something Jesus did. They have walked away because of something Jesus taught. So let me ask you the same question I've been asking earlier. When's the last time you met someone who rejected the gospel because they didn't like what Jesus taught through his apostles? Because they were the ones who took that gospel message out. And the answer to that question is, at some form, fashion, the answer to that question is, every one of them. Anyone who has rejected the gospel is rejecting the teaching. Something about it offends. Something about it turns them. This is still real. Now we're at the root of the problem. Because there are many things those apostles taught that offend people today. And we look back, remember when we read 1 Peter chapter 2? Never sinned, no guile, perfect example. He didn't threaten, he endured by giving himself over to the righteous judge. And we look back and we say, how could anybody be offended by that? Exactly. But me and you know people who are. There may be times me and you. Maybe we don't like all the things Jesus taught through his disciples, through his apostles, through inspiration. Maybe us, with full acknowledgement and recognition and confession of his righteous character, of his deity, and yet some things he teaches may offend us to the core. So we need to go a little deeper on this one, don't we? Nobody's going to reject him today because of Lot and Lot. Not going to be much rejection today because of what he did. But there is ample rejection over the things that he taught and not being content with the things that he taught. So we've got some work to do. Are we offended at the plan of salvation? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Do we not recognize the role of faith? Does that offend you? Does the source of faith offend you? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Does that offend? Does the fact that all men everywhere have to repent, because the days of God winking at that are over. All men everywhere, Acts 17. Does that offend anyone that you know? Does confessing Him as the Son of God, Messiah, Lord of life, does that offend people that you know? Turn to Acts chapter 2. One that particularly does offend is baptism. For the remission of sins, baptism as an essential part of salvation. People that will not argue about confessing, people that will not argue about faith or repentance, they will get offended if you and I teach that baptism is essential, that it is necessary if we want sins washed away. Let's look real quickly. In Acts chapter 2, I know you're familiar with it, but we just to lay the groundwork for something. Day of Pentecost, as we would say, the first gospel sermon. And after the pricking of the heart, and they've asked the apostles, what do? We've killed the one God sent. Can we do anything about that? Men and brethren, what do? Can we fix this horrible thing that we've done? And the answer is in verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. First gospel sermon, we would call it, right? Now here's what he wants to do. Here's the exercise. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. And as you're turning all those pages, 100 pages or whatever it ends up being in your Bible, imagine you're flipping a calendar. Because from Acts 2 to 1 Peter 3, you are going in the neighborhood of 30-something years. We're now somewhere around AD 62, 63. That's when this first epistle of Peter was written. 30 years after Pentecost. And do you know what Peter's still preaching? You do, don't you? 1 Peter chapter 3. After speaking about Noah and the flood and the salvation that came through water in those days, verse 21, the like figure, whereunto even baptism does also now save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the parenthesis, he talks about it's not some earthly physical thing. It's not the washing away of dirt. But it's the answer. It's the appeal. It's the response of a pricked conscience. But the point is, Acts chapter 2, Peter's preaching remission of sins through baptism. 30-something years later, baptism saves us by the resurrection of Christ. There are a lot of people that are offended when baptism for remission of sins is taught. Peter was not one of them. He never wavered in his teaching on that. Here's 30 years of his teaching that we've got. And he's teaching the same message. Don't waver from that. And don't back down from that. And I know there are friends and families that are going to disagree with you. Let them disagree with God. Let them see what Jesus taught. And if there is an offense to be made, it's an offense to Him. And we'll look at how that can be true in just a moment. Are people offended at the plan of salvation? Yes, they are. To this day, they are. People aren't offended at Nazareth, but people are still offended by the works of the church. The works God gave His body to engage in. Works of teaching a lost and dying world. That was given to the church. The work of edifying and building up our brethren. Strengthening us in a world of wickedness. That work was given to the church. The work of seeing to the needs of brethren. That was given to the church. And people are offended by that. And we've got to make sure that we are content to let the church be the church. Let's do what He gave us to do. He told us to teach. You are the pillar and ground of the truth. Is who the church is. Pillar and ground of the church, of the truth. Missionary societies cannot do this work for us. And that's going to offend some people. Man-made institutions cannot do our work of benevolence for us. That's going to offend some people. The social gospel cannot edify for us. And that offends people. Let the church be the church, and let's do what the church was given to do. And that does not include youth activity centers. That does not include fellowship halls. That does not include ball teams. That does not include tracks and blood pressure screenings and all those things that have a place, but they don't have a place in the work God gave His people. And that offends more people than it doesn't. Jesus did not die so that me and you could come here and be a part of a trophy-winning 4th Street Church of Christ basketball team in the local league. That is not why He shed holy blood. That is not why He died. All of those things do not take care of our problem. Our problem is not my blood pressure. My problem is not my cholesterol. My problem is sin. And those social things don't do a thing to help that. And people are offended by the works God gave the church. Are we? Are you offended by that? People aren't offended that He healed on the Sabbath day, but they are offended by what He called acceptable worship. To this day, people are offended by that. We've gathered together today. Here's the first day of the week. It's the day we were admonished to come together to remember. And we have prayed to the God of heaven and earth. And we have praised Him together in song. There's a lot of people out today. 30-something people gone. But we sang, and you sang well. You engaged in worship of song. We have given of the heart. We have remembered the sacrifice, the death, the resurrection, the future return. All those things wrapped up in it, right? We've remembered that. We've opened up the book and we've tried to teach. And we've tried to make applications. We have done what God asked us to do. Does it offend you if there were no mechanical instruments of music used? Because it offends a lot of people. Does it offend you that today we remembered through this memorial of the Lord's Supper? Tomorrow we will not gather and do that. We have no authority to do that on the second day of the week. But other people in this town within a half a mile of us will. They would be offended that we don't do it every day. Would you be offended that there have been no ladies who took part in a leadership role in these assemblies? Does that offend you? Because it does a lot of people. God gave work to the church, and He gave acceptable worship. And we don't tell Him what's acceptable. He tells us what's acceptable. And then to the best of our ability, we strive to serve. We strive to be faithful. Are you offended at what He taught? We're not offended at Nazareth. But there's plenty of people offended by what He taught concerning morality. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11. Heaven is not for all. He asked a rhetorical question. Don't you know? And then the long list of those who will not inherit the kingdom of God. And to teach that. And actually, you don't have to teach it. Just read it. Just read it. And that's going to offend more people than not. Because we live in a culture where tolerance is expected. Tolerance is a virtue, they'll say. And if you don't tolerate homosexuality as a good and righteous choice, you're just a buffoon. And if you don't tolerate adultery as just consenting adults, you're a caveman. And if you don't tolerate social drinking, you're just a goody-goody. You're just somebody living in the past. And a real quick aside, is it okay to be a social liar? Is it okay to be a social coveter? A social adulterer? Now what other thing are we going to put social on and all of a sudden it becomes okay? There are a lot of people offended by what Jesus taught about morality. The question is, did He teach it? And if it's taught, then we honor it. And if it's taught, would we dare be offended? Would we dare take offense at that? Turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke 9. To ask someone the question, are you offended at God's Son? A Bible believer is going to say, no, of course I'm not. Very few would say that they are offended. But saying it doesn't make it so. Luke 9, read with me verse 26. 9 verse 26. Whoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words. That might need to be underlined. Whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory in his Father's with the holy angels. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I love Jesus. Jesus is God's Son. Jesus died for me. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. If you're ashamed of his words, it's the same thing. You can't be ashamed of his words and think that doesn't equal shame with him, because he connects the two. They are the same to him. To be ashamed of what I taught, to be ashamed of what I said, to be ashamed of what I wanted is to be ashamed of me. That's the point that he's making. He says, I'm going to be ashamed of you. I won't claim you as my own. That ought to get our attention. I hope that it would. Turn back to where we started. Look in John chapter 6. When they walked away because of the teaching that day. Incredible conversation takes place. Let's start right where we left off. Look back in verse 66. John 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And if you can kind of put yourself there, there was a mass of people, remember. There were thousands of people who had been fed the day before. And there's another multitude who has come with the intention of being fed again. And at the end of that teaching period, if you put yourself there, all we would see is the back of a bunch of heads. Verse 66, they walk no more with him. They have dispersed. They have scattered. And can you imagine now Jesus with the 12 and everybody else? Everywhere you look, you just see heads walking away, farther and farther in the distance. Verse 67, then Jesus said to the 12, will you go away too? You're going to leave me like they did? Can you imagine the question? Put yourself there. You're Bartholomew. You're John. You're James. And Jesus talking, and now what was a mass of people, now a small circle of people. Are you going with them? Take a look at them. Are you going to leave too? And Peter, who the same one who denied three times, the same one who pretended that he because of peer pressure that he's not going to associate with Gentiles, the one who told Jesus himself, "We will never let you be taken." Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan! You're a stumbling block to me, Peter." Peter gets it right here. Sometimes his mouth got him in trouble, but the question to the 12 was, "Will you leave too?" Verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." How sad. Put yourself there. How sad. Because Peter has spoken correctly, and there were literally thousands walking away from him. Are you going to leave me too? Lord, where shall we go? The unsaid question that me and you can now ask is, where were those other people going to go? If eternal life meant something to them, where were they headed? Because they were walking away from the only one who could offer it. And that's what Peter's acknowledging. Are you going to leave me too? No, we're not leaving you. There's no other option. There is no plan B. There is no second tier. You have the words of eternal life. Amen to that. So don't be offended by those words. It's not Nazareth, and it's not the actions. It's not the mighty works that cause people today to be offended. It's his words. It's what he taught. It's what he wants. And me and you need to slam it home to ourselves that those words are of eternal life, and there is no other place to go. No other source can we get it. So don't be offended by what he taught. We are thankful Jesus was who he was in the flesh. We're thankful for his lot in life. We're thankful for the example he set for us. Be just as thankful for every teaching that those inspired men took to the world. Get your song books out. Where will you go? There's the question, isn't it? We talked about the plan of salvation. Jesus gave away. Sins can be forgiven. Don't be offended by that. Act on that. We talked about morality. As offensive as it may be, Jesus, in his teachings, outlined a life to be led in front of a God who sees all. Don't be offended by that. Let's just become more and more like it. Take that example of 1 Peter chapter 2 and let that be, it was given for our example, Peter said. Well, let's follow the example. Closer every single day. A little better every single day. Does Jesus offend you? No way. Let that never be said. That includes every word that he taught that applies to us. That includes every application that he made through his parables. And we need to give heed to all of them. If anyone needs to make any correction, do it while we stand and sing.